Welcome along. Thanks for joining us. It's the Racing Post Cheltenham Postcast, looking ahead to day three, the Thursday action. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm joined by two very shrewd judges from the Racing Post tipping desk in Keith Melrose and Tom Collins. And I'm also delighted to say, after what feels like months away, we've got Niall O'Reilly from Paddy Power with all the odds and hopefully plenty of winners as well. Let's get stuck into it. The 120 is the Marsh Novices Chase, and for many people, it's the banker of the week. On voit Alain, but for others, it's the lay of the week. Let's see what the boys fancy after Niall's taken us through the betting.
I'll just say first that our offer on Thursday is a free bet on any race at Cheltenham, so just check the site for details. Envoy Alain is our 2-1 favourite. Chantry House is 15-2, Sean Blue 15-2, Chatham Street Lad 12-1, Fusa Raffles 16, and 25-1 bar.
Just a free bet, any particular size? Can I have a grand on something, or is there a bit of a limit there? No.
It's a fiver, unfortunately. So,
that's fiver is not to be sneezed at all. That's excellent. Right then, Will, I'm not sure anyone will be playing their free bet on this. I'm fascinated to hear what everyone thinks of En Voit Alain. We'll start with Keith Melrose.
Well, he is literally just a bubble, isn't he? Not just... He can never be value until the bubble bursts. So even though I'm not a hater of him or anything, he's a very, very good horse, but I can't be backing him until that point is reached. So I've got to back against him, and I've got a really good solid each way bet against him in Sean Blue. He's one of the best novice jumpers I've ever seen. He would have potentially won two of the three British Grade 1 so far this season, but for going a little bit harder than the Scilly Isles, there's a lot to like there. He's 15-2. You can back him each way still. And, you know, I can't really see about the first three. I think that's the safe and sensible way to play this race.
That does sound a very sensible start there, Keith. Tom Collins, what's your strategy going to be here?
Well, I think Envoy Alain's going to go 12 for 12. He's been brilliantly campaigned all year. With Cheltenham in mind, it's just a classic case of finding the easiest race for a horse in the build-up, and his RPRs in the Drimmore and Kalini just suggest he's going to be the winner of this race. It's not a race I'll be playing in. I think the value at a huge price is probably Darva Star. He'll prefer the better ground. He was only beaten half length by Honeysuckle in last year's Irish Champion Hurdle, finished third behind Epiton in the Champion Hurdle at Cheltenham. He hasn't matched that form over fences, but he relishes the good ground, as I said, and providing he jumps better, he could hit the frame at a big price, but not a betting race for me.
Okay, is it a betting race for you, Niall?
It is, yeah. I just think Envoy Alain will win this. He's 1.67 on the exchange at the moment. That's really value for me. If Monkfish wins today, I think he'll go off 2-5. He's just got the best form by a mile. The second fav, Sean Blue, was beaten 27 lengths behind him in the Ballymore last year. He's a brilliant jumper. The only small negative, and it's more the unknown, is the trainer switch. But I think it's been relatively seamless. I know the trainers use the same feed, and the Bromhead and Elliot have quite a good relationship. So I think it's been seamless in that regard. So yeah, he's an odds-on shot that I've been hammering.
And the groom is also the groom. She's also coming over for the day. The groom from Gordon Elliott's, which is a nice touch by De Bromhead, but also probably quite a smart move as well, just to provide some familiarity.
Yeah, I think so. When I say the word hammering, I meant hammering responsibly. Is what I was going to add.
Absolutely. Please hammer responsibly. That's the new social gaming message we're getting. Right, we'll move on to the 155, and it's the Potemps Network final. And if anyone thought the first race was easy, I can't think that anyone's got a particularly clear-cut view on this, although I do know that my colleague David Jennings will not hear of defeat for Imperial Alcazar. And that one heads the market, I think, Niall.
Yeah, we're paying six places here, which I think punters might need, but Imperial Alcazar is a 5-1 favourite. The boss is Oscar's 11-2. Champagne Platinum 6-1. Come on, Teddy, 10-1, and it's 11-1 bar.
Tom Collins, who's your fancy for the Potemps?
Well, I've been backing the boss's Oscar since October. I'm happy with the jockey booking, Jordan Gainford. The handicapper is not getting a Christmas card from me after giving him a mark of 151. But Gainford's £7 claim will help. Jordan Gainford only went pro in February. This time last month, he's ridden eight winners already. He's impressed. He looks very tidy, stylish and strong in a finish as well. He has his first ride around Cheltenham today on Chosen Mate in the Grand Annual. Conditionals and amateurs versus pros. I wrote the preview for this race and asked G-Rod to do a bit of statistic searching for me. And conditionals and amateurs versus the pros are 14 from 369 at Cheltenham in the last 10 years. Just a 3.7% strike rate. So that's the target that Jordan Gainford's going to have to try and enhance those weak statistics. But I think the Bosses Oscar, who's a graded horse, he's been campaigning with this in mind. For the last five winners of this race have come from the Leopardstown qualifier over Christmas. I think he's a great bet. I've got 25s and 22s, so the value has gone, but I still think he's the most likely winner.
Cool, blimey, I'm impressed with you, Tom. You've reached such an elevated position. You now just send off a request to G-Rod and he has to do all your statistical research for you. Blimey, that's impressive. Niall, what do you make of the Potemps?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what Tom said. The Bosses Oscar, I quite fancy this. You definitely want to focus on the Irish horses here. I'm just not falling into the trap of backing a UK horse, which has looked impressive in the last start, which I have done previously. So I think DJ might do his money in on Imperial Alcazar. The Bosses Oscar was second at Leopardstown at Christmas, and the mark looks high now, but when you look at the time of that race at Christmas, it looks pretty impressive. So it was about 17 lengths faster overall than the Grade 1 won by Flooring Porter, and about 9 lengths faster from the third last. When you look at Flooring Porter, he's 8-1 or so for the Stairs hurdle. So it just puts into context how good the run was. I know he could say that Dandy Mag beat him, but he was given that one weight. And the Bosses Oscar's whole season has been geared around Cheltenham. You can't take the form literally when it comes to Cheltenham handicap sometimes. He also probably should have won the Martin Pipe last year, just looking badly in need of 3 miles. As Tom said, they've booked Jordan Gainford, which just makes him more of a certainty because he's essentially running off a mark 144. This kid is going to go to the top. He's excellent. Like, it's a free £7. So, yeah, the Bosses Oscar for me.
Two very confident shouts for the Bosses Oscar. Are you going to roam in with them, Keith?
Not particularly, although just without, sorry for being the headmaster, but he has had one ride at Cheltenham, John Gainford. He rode in an amateur handicap chase on Clondonagher in October 2019, I think. But he's only had one ride at Cheltenham and it wasn't over hurdles. But he is obviously sought after and is presumably turned professional in order to actually ride at Cheltenham. But it's not a race I've got a strong view in. Besides, I backed Spirit of the Games, Andy Post. I think somewhere between the 15th of February and the 19th of February, the Skeletons realised that his hurdles mark was much lower than his chase mark and have campaigned him now for this race. He does sort of get 3 miles and his emphasis won't be too much on stamina. You're getting a lot of places. To be honest, I maybe expect one might finish in front of him, but I can definitely see him running a big race at a decent price, so that's the one I'll be sticking with.
Okay. I want You Know What I Mean, Harry, to win just for the lols. That would be hilarious. Right then. A fantastic 40 minutes of racing starts at 2:30 with the Ryanair Chase. And this is wide open, competitive and classy. Can't wait for this. How do Paddy Power bet, Niall?
Yeah, it's so competitive, which is why we're paying 4 places. Alaho is our 5-1 favourite. Sorry, Min is joint favourite at 5-1. Melon 13-2. Imperial Aura 7-1. Fakir Didari 8-1. Mr Fisher 8-1 and 10-1 bar.
You can go first, Niall.
I'll start with I don't fancy Alaho. He just doesn't find much off the bridle and I wouldn't want him in a battle. I see they've stuck a tongue tie on him as well, which would worry me. Min jumped really poorly before being pulled up at the Dublin Racing Festival. Didn't think he had much in hand last year either, so I've gone off him. He's a 10-year-old now. Imperial Aura is off a fall. It's hardly the ideal prep. The one thing I do know is that I think the winner is going to come out of last year's Marsh Chase, which I think was a really strong race when you look at the times and different things like that. Hasn't really been backed up in the form this year, but I think it's going to at Cheltenham. Sam Crowe, Mellon and Mr. Fisher were first, second and fourth. Sam Crowe's sort of been a bit disappointing, so maybe hard to trust. I'm just not fully sure how good Mr. Fisher is. Mellon, on the other hand, comes alive around Cheltenham. They put cheek pieces back on and I just think he looks set to run a huge race. I know he sometimes he's not the most resolute type, but you can't argue with his form around here. And at the prices, I'll be backing him each way.
Good old Melon, love him. Okay, Keith, who are you going to go for in the Ryanair?
It's the race of the week, this, isn't it? I think it's an absolute belter. I could back 10 of them, so probably I shouldn't back any. But I've been seeing since last festival, really, that Alaho was a Ryanair horse. He's 5-1. He's going to show more. You know, he's whatever form he's shown up to now is a little bit behind, and it's behind Chris's Dream, who's 33-1, to be quite honest. But he is going to show more in time, I think. We've not seen the best of this horse yet. He's a justifiable favourite. It's a race I'm absolutely desperate to have a bet in, but I'll only be doing so because of that. It really is such a competitive race that there's hardly a horse I could rule out. So I wouldn't be going daft, but I am backing Alaho.
There was a funny drift on him, wasn't there, on Tuesday morning, just before
because,
the decks.
He was it because he declared a tongue tie?
I don't know. Very strange. I mean, but it was one of those drifts that sort of made you think he must be a non-runner.
They declared him really late. He wasn't in the the entries up until very late. So I wonder, was there a doubt about him running?
Willie Mullins declaring one late. That's unusual.
Very late, though, we'll say.
Right then, Tom. No one's managed to crack this yet because Dashiell Thrasher's going to win, isn't he? What? Look, what do you mean laughing?
He's a proper improver, isn't he, Dashiell Thrasher? But he's had a very hard season. I'm not too sure if he's going to come out on top. But as Keith said, it's very competitive. I could also back a fair few. Mellon won't be out the first three, I don't think. Although the jockey bookings on the Mullins battalion is a bit strange. I thought Paul Tallon would ride Alaho. I think the value is now with Imperial Aura. He was one of the most impressive winners at last year's festival, wasn't he, when he romped home in the Northern Trust, the form of which got a timely boost when Galvin won the National Hunt Chase yesterday. The first two starts this year were really good, even though they were on right-handed tracks. And he just made an uncharacteristic mistake last time at Kempton. Kim Bailey has always said that he jumps better when he goes faster, and they weren't going that quick early on in the race. He just unseated David Bass. I think back at Cheltenham after a break, he'll be on point and therefore has to run a huge race.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you, chaps. As you say, Keith, race of the week for a lot of people, and I can absolutely see why. Now then, let's see if good old Paisley Park can win the stayers. We'll have a look at his chances in just a mo.
Everyone's a winner on Gold Cup Day with Paddy Power's Wonder Wheel. Win cash, free spins and bonuses. Plus, it's free to play. Wonderful.
Guaranteed one winning spin per player per day. Select customers only. T's and C's apply. 18+bgambleaware.org.
Welcome back to part two of the Day 3 Racing Postcast, Cheltenham Festival. Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose, Tom Collins and Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly. We're looking ahead to the 3:05 now. It's the Paddy Power Stayers Hurdle, in which Paisley Park attempts to regain his crown. And with Time Hill coming, having come out at the weekend, he's fairly short now. What's the latest betting, Niall?
So we obviously sponsor this race. And because of that, we're paying 5 places, which is the standout place terms in the industry. But yeah, Paisley Park heads are marketed 2-1. Sorry to Burley 9-2. Flooring Porter 7-1. Fury Road 7-1. Vindication 8-1. Lisnagar Oscar 9-1. The Storyteller 9-1. And then it's 20-1 bar.
I'll tell you what, Niall, it's for reasons like that that I do so little anti-post betting now. I mean, you got Time Hill coming out, and I know some people have benefited because they might have backed some of the others. But you get to the day, there's 15 runners, and you're betting 5 places. I mean, why get involved anti-post? It's a superb offer. Keith, will you be taking advantage of the 5 places by backing something at a big price, or do you fancy the fav?
Probably not. I mean, I literally just started looking when Niall said that about the 5 places, and there was one that maybe just caught my eye and Sam Spinner, but don't take that as read. That's just me having a 3-second look because I've heard the offer. The horse I fancy in the stairs is a horse I won't be backing each way. It's Sired Burley. His form in winning the pair attempts off top weight last year was better than Lisnagar Oscar when he won this race on the same afternoon. He's basically been like trained for Cheltenham again, and has a little bit more tactical speed than Paisley Park, even though Paisley Park form is slightly better. So I think Sired Burley is definitely one of those sporting second favourites that I'd be quite happy to take Paisley Park on with.
Jolly good. Thank you. Keith, Tom, what do you make of this race?
Well, I think Paisley Park's a bit too short around 2-1. With the 5 places, I think it'd be pretty foolish not to go each way at one at bigger price because it's so competitive. Florian Porter's got a great chance, but he's a headstrong individual. He tried to run out under Johnny Moore once. But I spoke to Moore last week and he was very confident of a big run. Good ground and left-handed track suits him. But one at a big price that I fancy is Beacon Edge. Surely he's overpriced at about 20-1. He was getting £2 off Fury Road, who's about 7s for this race, in the Boyne. Fury Road had everything go his way out in front. Jack Kennedy was able to dictate the pace and Beacon Edge still got by him. Now, obviously, there's a £2 swing in favour of Fury Road, but the disparity in price just makes no sense. And I think Beacon Edge is a good bet, each way bet, first 5 places.
Excellent. And Niall, who are you going to go for?
I'm a bit surprised by this, but I really fancy Sired Burley. He won the per temps last year off top weight, and when you break down the times again of that race, it looks really strong, and it's as strong as anything on offer for me. So the race was around eight lengths faster overall, though it was a huge 20 lengths faster from 3 out, which is what I like to see. It's massively impressive no matter what way you slice it. He was also carrying, that comparison is against the Stairs Hurdle last year. He was also carrying £2 more than Lisnagar Oscar when he won the Stairs. He's never gone particularly well at Leopardstown. I don't think the track suits him, and that race was slowly run, so I'll forgive him that. I think he'll beat Paisley Park here anyway. I just don't think he's too far clear. The one I'd be afraid of is Stabenith Fury Road, though he might want softer ground. So yeah, it's Sired Burley for me. I think the Storyteller could run well each way too. He was obviously second in that per tenth last year. But yeah, Sired Burley, the main bet.
No love for Paisley Park. 2 votes for Sired Burley and 1 for Beacon Edge. Now, for me, these next three races represent the hardest yards of the whole week. The last three races on Thursday, all really, really difficult. I need some help of the lads here because these are typically tough races, these ones. We start with the 340. It's the Paddy Power Plate Handicap Chase over 2.5 miles. Wide open affair with two horses from Ireland dominating the market. In fact, four horses from Ireland dominating the market, Niall.
Yeah, we're paying six places here as well.
Six places, that helps.
Yeah, the each round multis, there'll be a lot of them tomorrow. But yeah, the Shunters are 4-1 favourite. Away with the C 5-1. Far Class 11-2. Field du Doré 7-1. Caribbean Boy 10-1. Mr. Whittaker 12-1. And 14-1 bar.
Who decides how many places you're going to bet to? Is it the marketing team or the trading team?
It's the trading team. We just kind of come to a decision. We obviously work with commercial and marketing teams as well. But yeah, it's us who makes the decision. So yeah, very generous.
Slightly nervous. It's a terrific deal, that, isn't it?
Yeah, look, the nerves this week have been through the roof in general. So, yeah, doesn't get any easier tomorrow.
You may still get a result, of course. Tom, who do you like in the plate?
I think a few of the Irish horses look well treated, the likes of Far Class. The Shunter's obviously coming here on the back of a Moor Battle victory. He's eligible for the 100 grand bonus, so there's no surprise that he's going to be primed for this again by Emmett Mullins, who's a very shrewd trainer. But with the enhanced place terms, I fancy one at a double-figure price, which is Mr. Whittaker for Mick Shannon. His recent form figures aren't very inspiring, but only three starts back, he took third in this race last year behind Simply the Bets. That came off £2 higher mark. He seems to have needed a run both times this year, though he did catch the eye last time. Now he returns to Cheltenham. He's a notable specialist at this track. He's perfect on good ground as well. So I think Mr. Whittaker will hit the frame.
10 of his runs have been at Cheltenham. He absolutely loves it there. Okay, Niall, what are you going to go for?
Yeah, I like two in here, Caribbean Boy and Assemble. Caribbean Boy would probably be my main bet. He was very impressed with Newbury on good ground back in November, beating Fiddler on the roof on his reappearance. The time that day compared really well to handicap in the card won by Clondalk Castle, who's done really well since. Just after that, I earmarked Caribbean Boy as a horse that could potentially win the Ryanair. Though he was very disappointing at Ascot next time, though at least that form has worked out to be quite good, obviously with Dashiell Thrasher winning a grade one. He then ran over 2 miles at Sandown and ran quite well. The two horses that were first and second are running in the Grand Annual, so we'll see how the form works out. But I thought he ran well enough. He's in here off a mark of 153. These class horses who are up the top of the weights can do really well in these type of handicaps. So I just think he's got a big chance. Assemble then is a horse I think hasn't shown anywhere near what he's capable of. He ran a blinder behind Envoy Allen in the Fairy House in November. And I think he's a graded horse in a handicap. The one worry is his jumping. He's fallen the last twice. But if it holds up, I think he'll go very close. So I'm backing him each way at 20-1 and backing Caribbean Boy as well.
Okay. Thanks, Niall. Keith, what do you reckon?
Well, I'm taking Tom's sort of line on this one. You're almost always, and I've looked at the last 3 or 4 years, you almost always get one of these course specialists making the frame here. I think that's the way to play this race, really. You don't really get as much value with the sexy, unexposed ones. So Tom's gone for Mr. Whittaker. I'm going for potentially the other most experienced and loved round here, and that's Happy Diva. Bit of a mea culpa here because I really fancied her at Warwick in February and didn't really entertain the possibility that it would just be getting her spot on for this, which I think it actually was, looking at how she shaped. She travelled through the race and didn't find an awful lot. She might have just been coming on for that run. You know, she was second in this race last year at Simply the Bets, of a £4 higher mark. She's won a Paddy Power. She would have placed in this year's Paddy Power, but for falling two out. And yeah, she's on a good mark now. Prime for the race, 25-1. Loads of places each way. That's the way I'll play the race.
Lovely. Happy Diva. Okay, two more races to go. Let's do them in just a moment.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. Two more races on Thursday to look at now, and we start with the 4:15, which is the Parnell Properties Mares Novices Hurdle. It's difficult again. Niall, take us through the betting.
Yeah, we're four places here as well. Royal Cahalas are 9-2 favourite. Rosie's Hollow 11-2. Galois 6-1. Hookup 6-1. Glens of Antrim 7-1. And it's 9-1 bar.
I think Keith's actually drawn stumps on this one. He doesn't fancy this race at all. So he said, don't come to me. He's got no view. Do you have a view, Tom?
Not a strong one. If you look at the trends, Willie Mullins has won this race all five times since the inaugural running. I was debating backing Gauloir's Antipost a couple of months ago, but I actually think Willie Mullins' best chance of getting the winner is now Glens of Antrim, who tackles the mares after running really well in maiden hurdles against the boys. She bumped into Blue Lord first time up. He would have been second in Supreme, but for falling at the last the other day. Gave Statler a really good race on her second start and then ran into a horse called Mr. Incredible last time, who previously finished second to Gaillard de Manil. So the horses she's been beaten by stack up well in the Colts and Geldings novice division. Now she's back against the mares only. This is arguably her easiest task to date, despite the fact it's her first crack at graded company. So she would probably be the one, Glens of Antrim, but it's very difficult again.
Okay, fair enough. Keith, have you opted out of this one because you hate the race on principle or because you've looked at it and you just don't fancy anything?
Because I've not looked at it in the depth that I would like to before. I mean, I'll be on the show tomorrow doing it live, and between now and then I will look at this race deeply enough. But these are horses that I don't watch day in, day out, so I've got to put in a bit more work. And yeah, I hate the race on principle as well.
Okay, fair enough. We got that in as well. Okay, very professional of you there. Noel, I presume you've had a good old look at this. Who do you like? It is a tough race. I mean, trends-wise, you know, I think Willie Mullins had the forecast once 66 to 1 and 50s, didn't he? It's not easy, is it, this?
No, it's definitely not. I actually agree with Tom. I think Glens of Antrim could run really, really well here. She's obviously still a maiden, but as Tom said, has run into some very useful horses. And I don't think the level you need to hit here is huge. Like that run behind Statler at Leopardstown over Christmas is some very useful form. And she shaped as if 2 miles would be her trip there. And she did the same again at Nace. Like she travelled like the best horse. So yeah, she's the one I'd definitely be backing each way. I'd be really surprised if she's out of the four.
Okay, excellent. Right then, we move to the last race on Thursday. It takes place at 4:50. It's the Fort Walwyn Kim Muir handicap chase over 3 miles and 2 furlongs. And surprise, surprise, wide open again. Hopefully some more extra places from the generous folk at Paddy Power, Niall.
Yeah, of course, we're 5 places here. So Dacia Abba is our 9-2 favourite. Hold the Note 11-2. Mount Ida 7-1. Plan of Attack 8-1. Shanty Flyer 10-1 and 12-1 bar.
Okay, Keith, lead on. Who wins the Kim Muir?
I'll be dutching in the Kim Muir, I'm afraid. The one sort of fancy in the race that's probably the most obvious in terms of the type is Morning Vicar, who probably wants 3 miles. And second to Demachine in a Utah sort of race in October, that's one of those, there's always one red-hot novice handicap early in the season, and that was it. And then after that, he went to Newbury and beat Nestor Park from the front. I think he might have floundered in soft ground next time, and they've possibly saved him for the 3 months since. To come back on better ground than they've got it by the looks of things on the way Tuesday it panned out. So he's a sort of main one. I'll also be having a little bet on Creve Hill. I've been waiting for this horse to come back. There was no fluke about that run on Betfair Chase Day in 2019. The times all back it up. He's £5 lower now and never run on decent ground since, apart from when he got held up in the old Racing Post Chase last year. This is his last chance. He gets better ground. Hopefully Santos and Davis rides him prominently and he's going to be a massive price.
Okay, Creve Hill is the saver and the main course is Morning Vicar for Keith. Tom, what's your view on this race?
Impossible is my view. I think Plan of Attack is the one that I'd be most likely to back in first time blinkers. Finished fourth in this race last year, gets to run off £3 lower, but I'll probably be keeping my powder dry. It looks impossible.
Yeah, I couldn't argue with that. And Niall, finally from you, solve the Kim Muir puzzle for us.
I'll try. I don't have a great record in the race, I'll admit that. But I thought Storm Control looked worse in each way a bit. He's the price he is because of a really poor run at Warwick. Though he hasn't fired there in 3 runs. So forgive him that. He probably didn't stay the trip on the ground that day either. He just loves Cheltenham. And on his day, he's a brilliant jumper. I think he'll put them all under pressure. I can't see him out of the 5. So he'll do for me each way. I definitely, like, if I had a Paddy Power account, I obviously can't bet with Paddy Power. There'd be a few fancying an each way multi and he'd be one of them.
Yeah, I know. Those extra places are good. But against that, you've got so many runners. I mean, some of these races, you could have 8 or 9 stabs at and you still wouldn't get them. So I know the extra places are nice. And I'm sure from a layer's point of view, you're a bit fretful about it. From a punter's point of view, it's the least we need. They are so difficult. Honestly, that Thursday afternoon stretch there, it's kind of the amen corner of the Cheltenham Festival. Okay, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
We will start with Tom Collins. Who's your best bet for day 3?
The Boss's Oscar, 155 at Cheltenham in the Potemps final.
Excellent. Thank you, Tom. Niall?
I'll go Sire de Burleigh in the Stairs Hurdles, the 305.
Thank you very much indeed. And Keith Melrose?
It's a lot of prods and stabs from you on Thursday. The one that's having, I'll be having a good bet on is the each way on Shan Blue in the first, the 120.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much indeed, gentlemen. Thank you for listening. I hope that managed to help you out. It's a very, very difficult card, that, as we always say, do please bet safely and responsibly. And we're back tomorrow to look ahead to Friday and Gold Cup Day. So hopefully you can join us for that.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online. And we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18 plus, Big Gamble Award.